Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with a decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast on the internet. I have a beautiful guest today, going to be talking about something really great, so I want everybody to stick around. And if you miss the show, it is recorded, and then as soon as I'm done with it, I have to wait about 10 minutes, and then it'll be posted on my social media, so you can listen to it there, so not to worry. But I want to talk about a few things that are going on. Stars with a Z, psychics.com has a special $1.99 a minute, unlimited. I mean, I don't know how long I'm going to run it. Depends. It seems to be going pretty well, but I'm trying to do something that's more cost-effective for everybody. You know, the site makes some money, but and the readers make their money. I'm not ripping anybody off. A lot of sites will charge you $4.99 a minute, $5.99 a minute, and even more. Well, I have never done that, and I will never do that. And so this is our $1.99 per minute, and there's different blocks of time that you can purchase. All you have to do is have an account on StarsWithAZPsychics.com. We will be adding phone readings. As soon as my webmaster puts those pages together, I have gals coming from all over that want to work for me. You know, I'm kind of flattered, and I don't know. They just said that they love me. They love to hear my voice. They know how great I am, and I've been doing this, you know, the Star Psychics has been on since 2012. That's a long time. And, I had PlanetStars.com in 1998, and, of course, I have the magazine, Mystic Living Today, that's going into its 25th year on January 1st. I can't even imagine, when I think about that, 25 years I've been doing this? Oh, my God, it's unreal, isn't it? But anyways, so that's enough about me. I'm going to bring in my beautiful guest. Her name is Roxana Draguso. Is that right, Roxana?
Yes, that's correct. Hi, Natalie.
So we're going to bring, she wrote a book called The 10 Principles of the Feminine. And, you know, a lot of people hear that word, the feminine, and they want to know what it is. But how we're going to begin with Roxana. I want you to tell me, how did you get started in this? I like to call it an arena because really it is. The arena is really big when you write, when you do readings, all the spiritual world. But how did you get started?
Well, let me first say that I had no clue that I was going to be doing this. If you told me a few years back that I was going to be writing books and being here live on the radio, I would have been like, this is absolutely ridiculous. Please stop saying that. So I definitely wasn't ready to find out what it was that I was going to do. And it is what it is. Everything happens for a reason. So it was for the best because I would have probably rejected it, to be honest, and I would have dismissed it as being, you know, unrealistic because it was never on my list at all. But what happened basically was that even though I had a very, I had a relatively successful scientific career, I always felt that there was something else that I needed to do. It's just that I didn't know what that was. So for a very long time, that generated a little bit of an anxiety because it's a bit like walking into a room and suddenly forgetting why you're there. Like, you know, you went there to pick something up or to do something, which is important, but you don't know what it is. So I was kind of in this forgetting mode for several years, which wasn't very very comfortable, as you can imagine. But in any case, I was always very spiritual, and I did grow a lot in this direction, and relatively fast, probably because I was pretty invested in Reiki. I had my Reiki initiation, and I was doing a lot of energy work. And when you start getting accustomed to working with energy and manipulating it, you start experiencing a whole new dimension of the universe that was not accessible to you before through the five senses or through logical thinking. So it's basically like a heightened state of awareness, right? And that's what happens in a nutshell. You know, the epitome of this heightened state of awareness for me personally was the so-called samadhi experience. So samadhi or satori is a state of consciousness that kind of gets you beyond, or it gets you out of your earthly persona. And it's very interesting because it changes your perception on life completely and on the way you look at yourself and at the universe. And once this happens, you can't really go back.
And, you know, I was thinking to myself, and then the magic begins for you when you can step into a different phase, when you can do something different. That's when you start to recognize, you start noticing things, like, you know, like for me, I mean, we were talking about this, I've been of service all my life, and like you, if somebody would have said, oh, Natalie, you're going to be doing 300 and some shows, I would have looked at them and said, no way, I am not doing that. That's what I would have said. That's what I said when I first began the show. The shows, you know, back in 2012, that all the girls went, oh, you need to do this. Well, you know, it's nice to hear people say you need to do this, but to do this is really not a simple thing. But anyways, we're at our 304th show. Now, okay, tell me, why did you write the book, though? I mean, did you get some kind of insight? Did you get a nudge? Did somebody say, well, you
exactly.
should write about it? Because it's called The 10 Principles of the Feminine, and I want to know what that means, and I'm sure the audience wants to know. So how did you start writing, and why?
Well, once I got into this state of, you know, of consciousness, I actually finally had access to the info which I was missing, meaning what is it that I needed to do, and that was writing. And because I remember I was meditating one day, and I got this, let's call it download, for lack of a better word. And I remember that I had to get up and I had to write down what the 10 principles were, because I knew that I would otherwise forget them immediately. This is what really actually happens when you get, you know, this type of insights. You kind of tend to forget really quickly. So I was kind of feeling that I really needed to do that. And I didn't really question it, although I was kind of like, am I really able to write a book? I never thought of that. But I did start writing, and I did not stop until I finished it. There was no difficulty there. There was no lack of inspiration. And it was, I don't want to say channeled, because usually when I say channeled, people might understand that you're connecting to some spirit guide or some entity that's providing you with this information. That's not what I do. So there are definitely several layers of reality and different dimensions. It looks, I like to describe it a bit like a layered cake. And somewhere towards the top of this cake, there is a dimension of consciousness that is just pure information, and it's where our intuition comes from. Some people call it the Akashic dimension. I don't really like using this term because it doesn't really describe the fact that it's also a being at the same time. It's not a dimension, but it's, well, let's say God, for lack of a better word, again. You know, so that's what happened. You know, when you tap into this infinite source of creativity and intuition, it's a bit like that higher intelligence comes and inhabits your body. So, you know, when I write, I don't think of myself as being, you know, Roxana, like I knew myself. It's just I'm just a messenger, and that's it.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people, they don't realize that they can do this too, and that's the unfortunate part.
Absolutely.
Most people just go about their daily life. I talk to God every morning. I meditate. I'm very quiet, but I talk out loud. And sometimes I'll ask questions, and I mean, I don't always get the answers. I just kind of, you know what I do is I kind of just leave it up to, okay, let's see what happens. Like usually what I do is I ask for doors to open for me as far as my business is concerned. And, you know, I'll just say I need, you know, I just need the doors to open. I'm not asking it to be done for me. I'll do the work. I'll go through, I'll open the door. If it's not, if it's something that doesn't apply, I'll walk back out and close the door. That's what I do, and because you're not going to – some people actually hear. I hear only once in a while. I don't hear all the time. And I think it's because somebody explained to me, and you probably would agree, is that when you're doing so many things using the left and the right side of your brain, which I do, you have too much being downloaded. There's just too much there. And then to get something on another level – it's going to be really difficult to know, well, where is this coming from? So you're kind of better off when you're only right-sided, I think. But I have to do that with the two businesses that I'm running. I have to be like that. I don't have to, but it's just it's easy for me. But many people, you know, get these ideas, and if they would look at it in a different way, like, oh, I think I need to go there today. Like, okay, I'm going to go into this store. Whatever it is, we call it, you know, like Target or someplace like that. But what they don't realize is that that's divine order. There are no coincidences. You are going there because you have to. Now, maybe there's something important you are to encounter wherever that place is. There might be somebody important. Might not be anybody. Maybe it'll just make you feel really good. Maybe you need to get out. But I know you agree that people just don't listen to themselves enough. They really, really don't. So what are the 10 principles of the feminine? Let's get into your book. I want to know, like, if I went and bought it, what can I expect from it?
So I want to say first that the book explains the true colors of feminine energy, and it kind of debunks a few myths. For instance, first of all, we all have feminine energy, whether you're male or female, or whether even if you don't identify yourself with any gender, we all have it in different proportions. It has nothing to do with the way you look and the way you behave, and it has nothing to do with romance, you know. So these might be life sectors or circumstances where feminine energy manifests, but it's not that the way you behave makes you feminine, but it's more the other way around. Feminine energy is the core of all, you know, of everything else. And when you master this energy, you'll see an improvement in all life sectors because you actually go back to who you truly are. You know yourself, you know what you need, and it's really empowering. But I hear a lot of people, especially women, asking how do you connect with feminine energy? Because it seems very abstract and very daunting. And I think like spirituality in general, it does seem daunting, and people kind of dismiss it as being a mumbo jumbo just because they don't really know what to do practically. They haven't been taught or told. So the aim of the book was to come up with 10 simple core principles that you can work on so that you tap into your feminine energy rather than you trying to imagine some figures of light or I don't know, whatever techniques that other people do, which I'm not saying they don't work, but I'm a very practical person. So, you know, for instance, connecting to beauty, celebrations, being joyful, rituals, they're all feminine, going with the flow. So that means exactly what you were, you know, saying earlier about giving up control and just following your intuition. It also explains what intuition is and this
right.
connection that we have with with the upper, you know, spiritual dimension that we so often ignore. And I think that this is the main source of this massive unfulfillment that we see at a global level, you know, at a society level.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe sometimes people, if they get an idea, they don't run with it, as I say. They don't, you know, I mean, I get ideas, and I've talked about this before, about this fairy tale that I would love to write, but I'm not there. It's not utmost on my mind. You know, I think when I'm ready to do it or it's time, I think I'll get this big nudge. Like a big shake. Okay, Natalie, it's time. But I think, and I always admire authors because that takes an awful lot of control and discipline. You have to be disciplined. You have to actually sit down in Microsoft Word or however you do it, by hand, longhand, whatever you want to do, and do it. I start it, but then I stop. So I don't even think about it because I just feel if it's meant to be out there, I'm gonna get this push. It's time, Natalie. Put it out there. And I don't think it's time, although
yeah.
I have, you know, and I'm in contact with all of these publishing houses, and I'm not even worried about it getting published. That's not the point. The point is, I think, like, for you, you must have gotten a nudge. Now, what did you do before you wrote this book? When you were, I mean, did this idea just come to you? Well, I think I'll write about this. Or what were you doing before all of this transpired for you?
Well, I remember that in the months before starting to write, I actually got this nudge to start drawing mandalas, believe it or not, which was, again, like, I like drawing, but, like, you know, I'm a 30-something-year-old woman. Like, I used to get up every morning and draw freestyle mandalas. And I never questioned it. And I thought, what am I doing this? What's the point of all this? But I didn't know that I was actually just learning to silence my brain. So that brain that you're talking about, the logical brain that tells you to stop doing stuff that don't make sense or that are not practical, and that
exactly.
actually keeps you away from following, you know, your intuition and that, like, divine creative ability that you might have, but you're just blocking that. So again, you're prepared, you know, when you have to do something, you're going to be given all the tools. And you also mentioned discipline. That's true. But I also have to say that when I get the urge of writing, I really have to do it. Like, I cannot stop until I do that. And I think that's something that.
Yep. So did you do this on, like, the computer? Did you do it, like, on Microsoft Word or some kind of on the computer?
Yeah.
You did it on, you typed it all out, right? So
mm-hmm.
I can see you
mm-hmm.
typing away here really quickly, like, okay, and not stopping. And probably, did you get exhausted when you wrote this, like, nonstop? I mean, to do that takes an awful lot of energy. I mean, how many hours did you do this? I'm really going back, because a lot of people will say, well, I write little paragraphs and stuff. Well, we're not talking paragraphs here. We're talking a book. And so how did you just sit down one day? Did you come up with the title right away, or did that come after? How did you begin this? I mean,
the title came right away. It came right away. And then I remember I would write about 6 to 8 hours at once for several days, of course, that went on for weeks. And it is a little bit draining. That's why you need to make sure that you also get your energy back from whatever it is that gives you energy. But
right.
ultimately, when you're so passionate about something, it really doesn't matter. And it feels so right. And you'll know how it feels, you know, because sometimes people ask, like, I don't know, should I write a book or should I not? And I said, well, if you're not, like, I have to write it, then, you know, it could be that it's not really the time yet, but it might, you know, there might come the time, but you'll know it if you listen to your intuition a bit, because you can very easily block it. Your logical mind is very happy to to resist to any, you know, intuitive endeavor.
I'm wondering, too, if some of it might be like an automatic writing kind of thing where you sit down and you don't even know what you're going to write. All you know is that you're supposed to be doing this. That's how I started this. It's the book. It's not a big, thick book. It wouldn't be. It's more like, I don't even know if it would be a self-help. It's just to let people know some things. I always end my show with, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And that's what this fairy tale would be about, because it would start off like, oh, no, this couldn't possibly happen. Oh, yes, it can. And another thing, too, is you have to believe in yourself. That's another thing, is that you cannot let people say, oh, well, that's stupid. What do you want to do that for? Who's gonna understand this? Who's going to want to do this, listen to you, what you tell them to do in the book? But you see, you get guided, and you are on a mission, and the purpose is there. And if it wasn't, it wouldn't have been done. You would have been stopped in your tracks. That's how I feel. I sometimes have to talk to my son because he's not really sure. I mean, you know, he says, I know what you say. I know, Mom, but I think when we die, we just die. And I said, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. There is more. And so then I have to go into this little talk with him. But I've seen things and he's seen things. So now, of course, after I said that, his father passed away 12 years ago, and he saw his father walking across the drive. And he called me and he said, well, you're not going to believe this. I said, yes, I will. What did you see? And he told me. And I said, how did that make you feel? So I questioned him, you know. Well, he started thinking a little bit better, but it's so hard to convince people if they're not like us. And I'm not saying they're not like us. I'm just saying it's dormant in them. It's not brought out to the fore. It's not. And when they see something or when they hear something and there's no explanation, now what do you think that is? That's not your imagination doing it. My phone will ring, and it's not my phone ringing. But to me, that's a signal. When I hear my phone ring, that's a signal. Listen up. Natalie, listen up. There's something you're going to need to listen to. So I take that as a strong, I don't hear them every day. You know, I'm in the ether when I get that. Like, I'll hear the phone ring. Sometimes it's a couple of times. Sometimes it's really loud. And I sit up and think, oh, my phone's ringing, but my phone is not ringing. It's coming from another dimension. And it could be coming from people that I worked with before, you know, on my sites. And they're just giving me a signal. It's a signal. I mean, but sometimes you have to interpret what it means to you. I mean, you could hear a ring of a phone, and who knows what you would think. What is that? That's really dumb. Who's calling me at this hour? You would think it was your phone, but I know better. It's not, because I know who called last, and I'll dial back just to make sure. I even did that. Roxanne, it was so funny. I pick up the phone no matter what time, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I dial the number back. You know, you can do *69 and you get the number. And it was my son calling the day before. So I'm thinking, oh, well, it's not him. So all you need are the affirmations. Yeah. All you need is to, and all it takes is one time. And then you know. Then you really know what's going on. You know, but writing is, I admire you. To go into this subject of feminine energy, and I like even the men that will be listening to the show to understand you too have feminine energy. It's not just the women.
Definitely.
Not just the women at all.
Yeah, I think there's so much there's so much misconception out there regarding, you know, what the feminine is. And it's funny because I've been raised in an environment that really valued masculine characteristics, like being goal oriented, being logical and assertive, and that's all good. But when you're disconnecting from this other dimension of yourself, then that's, you know, it's a bit of an imbalance, and it's gonna have consequences. And especially for women, because they experience it more than men. And I was thinking the other day, there is a company that makes hair products, and their motto is beauty is power. So So, you know, judging by the way society functions nowadays, I would say that's an understatement. But
yeah.
Here's the thing. Human beings do grow old. So that beauty might either fade or in any case, it might, you know, at a certain point stop fitting into that cookie cutter standard that we would hold ourselves up to. And that's when people, and especially women, become really desperate with maintaining their youthful appearance. And, you know, if you want to go and get a facelift, go and get a facelift. From my point of view, you know, on a universal perspective, on a universal level, this has no consequence whatsoever. The problem is that once you do it once, you don't know when to stop. And that's when
right,
you get
right.
your
and
power
then we see,
away.
We see pictures of stars, of people that are out there in the entertainment, and they look horrible.
But, yeah.
And it's true. I mean, you know, I'm a lot older than you are. And what I do is, you know, I'll look at myself. I mean, you would never know my age, but I look. Everybody says it, but when, you can't be too critical. You can't say, oh, yeah, look at that. I experiment with the right stuff to put on my face, but I don't go nuts over it. I don't, because you can't change your age. And beauty lies in the beholder. And it's true. You know, I mean, somebody could look at you. And is it that important, or is it just what you are? This is what I am. And but it's hard to accept sometimes when you get a lot older. You're still too young, so you're not there yet. But you know, you start to wonder. Well, gee, I don't know. You just try to maintain your appearance, bring stuff from your heart and your soul out. Let people see what you are. Have that light around you, and be that person that they want to listen to. That, I mean. Now, I can say right now that that's the truth. People have no idea how old I am. But I've been blessed. I almost died once. But I've had things come. I've had, you know, Jesus came to me. I saw him. But I've had things, it's not an awakening. Well, maybe it was, because in the beginning when I was like, oh, I don't know, in my 30s, I guess, even 20s, I didn't even think about anything. You know, you just did your daily thing and that was it. But now people have the advantage of really looking into things and understanding what's going on. And we know for a fact that, you know, like you said, you couldn't have work done on your face, but then you get hooked. And then you think, oh, well, maybe I want my lips to be a little bigger, because they do narrow when you get older. Well, then they go nuts with it, and they look so weird. They don't – what are they seeing in the mirror? I don't understand that. You know, you can do some enhancements, okay, but, you know, don't go nuts over it. Don't keep doing it. Oh, but you see it all the time. And I wonder what – why? Are they just vain? Is that why they do that? Why do they do that, Roxanne? I don't understand. I mean, I've never had fillers done. I thought about it, but then you know what? Someday I look at myself and I think, well, you know, you're not too bad for your age at all, really, if you compare yourself to other people. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking I have a cat. His name is Mushy. And I say, yeah, you know, Mushy, Mom's not too bad looking here. I'm looking pretty good, don't you think? You know, but it does become an obsession with a lot of people that they want to change who they are. And,
and what I think. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead. You have the floor.
What I think is that this happens when you start caring more about what other people think of you than how you feel. That's the problem, because you don't feel good when you keep on doing these things over and over again. You keep getting disappointed with the way you look. So feminine energy is about really finding that inside lovable, empowered core that you have, and feeling good about it. And if you feel good about yourself, there's nothing wrong with, you know, making yourself look better, because you will not cross that line. You know, it's just going to be a game, and you can still be detached. And I think that's the key, not really going after what other people think. Just care more about yourself, you know, about how you feel.
And you know, too, Roxanne, a lot of times, you know, and I'll just use myself as the case study. nobody ever tells me I really look good for my age. And I asked my son that. I mean, he always says, Mom, you look really pretty today. He'll tell me that now, you know, and he's older. I have a granddaughter. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'll say to him, well, I don't ever hear that from anybody but you, but you're kind of like one-sided. I'm your mother. And he said, you know why they don't? And I said, no. He says, because they have no idea how old you are.
And I don't know either. So
yeah, and I think about that sometimes, and it makes sense. It really makes sense because they don't know. I mean, they don't even think about it, you know. But you know, for me, if I see, I have one girlfriend that we go to lunch once a week or so, and even like my daughter-in-law, if I see somebody that looks pretty, I will tell them. But my son said, yeah, but Mom, that's you. He said, men usually don't tell you that, but a lot of women won't tell you that. And he said, that's because they're women and they care more about themselves. And I said, well, you know, I feel I look okay. You know, there are things that, you know, and clothes do not make the person. You have to get to know the person, listen to their voice, and that will make you feel good. I mean, I help so many people, probably like yourself, and you'll do it more in your lifetime. And I look back and I wonder, well, yeah, I did that, and hopefully that I encourage them to do more with their life. And but you got to be careful though sometimes, and maybe that's part of the feminine. I don't know if it's one of them, but I sometimes do too much for people, and then I don't feel it back. That's when I stop. That's when I say to myself, okay, let them ride on their own now. You can't be hovering over everybody. You really can't. And I have a very bad habit of, my granddaughter is 19, and sometimes I think I try to live through her, because when I was her age, even younger, I missed a lot of things growing up. And I just don't want her to miss. And my son will say to me, but Mom, she's got to make mistakes. I said, no, I'm not talking about mistakes. Values, I can help her with that. I don't want her to look back and say, oh, why didn't I do that? Because we all have done that. And she's still young. She can change that path for herself. And you won't have to say to yourself, why didn't I say that? I wanted to, but I didn't. Now, she's still pretty young. You know, 19 is pretty young. And, she's going to college. She goes to an art school here in Savannah. And, but I live through her sometimes, and I have to stop it. Just because I didn't have it. I mean, look how I turned out. It wasn't because of my parents,
well.
Let me tell you. It wasn't because of my parents. I mean, my mother was all about self, you know, and my father was a gentle soul. I mean, he did little things, but usually your mother is the big influence in your life. But she worked, and I was on my own, truly, a lot. Everything. I mean, I had a lady that, well, we became really, really close, and she passed away, and she told me something. She said, you know, it's amazing about you. And I said, what? She said, I know about your life. And she said, how you turned out to do what you do. It should have gone the other way. She said, you should be more self-centered than so giving. But she said, I'm going to tell you why. She was a medium, okay? So she said, I'm going to tell you why. She said, because when you were growing up, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and you're home alone after school, lunchtime, summers, she said, you had help that you couldn't see. You didn't see them. But you had help. I'm sure of it, she said, because you should have gone the other way. Most children, when they are denied things, they become very selfish when they get older.
Yeah.
It's me, me, me. I'm the total opposite of it. I'm at the other end of the spectrum, totally. But you know what? I like myself. I like what I am. I like what I do. You know, and that's another thing, don't you think? You have to like yourself. This is who you are.
Exactly.
Look in the mirror. Yeah. Okay, I like to have fun. You know, I don't go overboard with anything. I'm good to people. And I, of course, I talk to my cat. I'm alone. My husband died 12 years ago, but I talk to my cat. He probably looks at me like I'm cuckoo. But I like myself. I like talking to people like yourself who have created this beautiful book that I can present you to all the people that I know. And you will be on all my social media. Everybody will know who you are that knows me.
Thank you.
And you see, I love that feeling. And, you know, my son, I have to keep telling him, you don't always have to do things for money. He said, but Mother, you go overboard. I said, yeah, but I'm okay. I do this because I love doing it. I love meeting new people, and I'm encouraging you to continue doing what you're doing. And yeah, I have the best of both worlds, really. Talk to people all over the world. I know people all over the world with so many shows that I've done. And I think this book that you have is very enlightening. I must get it because, obviously, it will encourage people to see what they are, to see what else they can do, right? I mean, it's, that's what it's about.
Definitely.
You know, it's amazing. Okay, so now, how can this help in relationships with a man and a woman, this feminine energy?
Well, there is a certain dimension of human connection which we normally don't experience consciously, and that's the energetic one. Because there is always an exchange of energy between people, which we might perceive at times as a gut feeling or an unexplainable push or pull towards someone. And we do tend to dismiss that because, again, our logical brain comes in, and that's really difficult to stop. So feminine energy helps us tune into this dimension and be more receptive to it, because it actually shows us how people really are at their core. It's their energetic dimension that determines, you know, the quality of their interactions and the way they act. It's not the other way around. And ultimately, the real compatibility between people is on an energetic level. It's someone's vibe that kind of sparks your interest. It can also be physical, of course, or mental in addition to energetic, but it cannot be purely based on personality or physical attraction, because, like I said, physical attraction might, you know, might like one day just disappear, or you know,
right.
Even when it comes to personality, a lot of people have severe wounding from childhood, so their choice of partner, it would mostly be based on compatibility between their traumas, and that's not a real connection. You know, that's called a codependency, and it's really not ideal. But unfortunately, a lot of us do tend to go into codependent relationships because that happens when we've not healed enough, you know. So that's why it's important to notice that you need to really be able to listen to your intuition. And if your gut feeling tells you that that person is not for you, or, you know, whatever, you should really trust that. But it's not, mastering this energetic dimension of relationships is not really that easy. You know, I'll say that in my case, I also didn't quite grasp this aspect when I was younger. But I noticed that I did meet a lot of very attractive people, or attractive men, at least by the general standard, that I just didn't feel any pull towards. And for many years, I thought that there must be something wrong with me, because why wouldn't you like that person? What I didn't know, or I couldn't articulate back then, is that there was a mismatch on, you know, on an energetic level. So that's something that I've learned now, and I think that should be the basis of choosing a partner. And also, when we master the feminine, we also know what it is that we truly need and what is beneficial to us, because sometimes we also have needs that are pretty destructive, that again come from, you know, childhood trauma,
right,
and old wounds. So that's not ideal. But then you also know which relationships stand a better chance to last, whether they're romantic or platonic. It doesn't matter, because energy is much less fickle than behavior or, you know, appearance or personality, because we do tend to match ourselves with, you know, similar personalities or based on similar likes, dislikes, or maybe sometimes common love language and stuff like that. But this is why when we're not connected to our feminine side and we don't listen to our intuition, getting into a new relationship is like having a new kitchen installed, honestly, because you get a new kitchen, it's all shiny and new, you're excited about it, people come and congratulate you, and you kind of, for a while, do your best to keep it in tip-top condition. But then it doesn't last forever, because at a certain point, either reality hits you, you know, something happens, or the novelty wears off, and then all of a sudden, the kitchen looks like after an atomic bomb explosion, and you don't want to clean
that
up anymore, you know?
Right,
you want
right,
someone
because
else
you don't
to
keep it
and...
up. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I love that. An atomic bomb is, I love it. Yeah, or some animals went through and tossed everything every which way but loose, you know? I mean, that's really, really true. You know, you are on your best side sometimes when you meet someone, and you know, I mean, I don't have anybody in my life. And my son asked me about it. I keep bringing up my son, but we talk a lot. He's really like my best friend, you know. And he'll say, well, Mom, you could have a companion. I said, you know, I like the way my life is. See, my husband was very bossy, and it was not good. So he said, well, I can understand that. I said, I like to watch TV when I want. I like to read when I want. I want to go outside when I want. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. And he said, well, that makes sense. And I said, you know, the older you get, people are set in their ways usually. And I said, you could say that about me. I'm set in my ways. I mean, I like, you know, if I want to have peanut butter and crackers for dinner, that's what I'm going to have. You know, I don't have to cook for anybody. I don't have to do for anybody. It's just for me. And really, you know, he's been gone 12 years, and I still have trouble because it was not, he had Alzheimer's, and so I have post-traumatic stress from him. And I still have moments. I don't have it every day, but I still have moments that I have to stop. Okay, Natalie, get a grip here. You know, that's the past. That is the past. But you know what? Maybe part of me doesn't trust another person in coming into my life, because I would probably be so disappointed, and maybe I would choose the same thing again. I would hope not, but I don't. Mm-hmm. You know how I leave it, and this could be for people that are more my age, is if God wants me to have somebody in my life, he's going to put me in that place at that right moment in time. And so I leave it to God. I just leave it. I don't go seeking anything out. You know, I have a cardiologist that I've gone to for years just because I have a heart murmur. And he says, well, are you social? And I said, what do you mean social? Like going to bars and things? I said, no, absolutely not. He said, well, I wouldn't expect to see you in a bar. I said, not by myself, you wouldn't. And he said, but I mean social. I said, no. He said, why? And I said, well, to tell you the truth, I said, I'm happy with what's going on in my life right now. I don't need any interference. Because you know what? And you know this, Roxana. If the other person did not understand how you feel about what's going on, your life, your spirituality, it would not be good. They'd tell you were nuts. And I said to him, I don't want to have to worry about, well, oh, why isn't he calling? He must be with somebody else. I said, I've been there, done that. I don't need that. I don't need that emotional stress. I don't need that. And I think the sooner you can recognize that, even when you're young, like for you, I don't know if you have anybody in your life, but even for you, as soon as you reckon, don't let anybody run your life, ever. I had somebody do that to me, and it was awful. I had my son, though, so it was good. I have him, but you know what I'm saying? When people are older, they can get more connected. They can have, when you're young, you know, it's about looks, you're right. I like voices and I like men's hands. Isn't that strange? I love voices. and I'm in tune to that. I'll perk my ear up a little bit, but you reach a point that it's not that important to you. You have to learn how to be good with yourself. You have to learn how to love yourself, and I think I'm probably still doing that because we've all got flaws, you know, but I really think that your principles, the 10 principles, I'm on your site right now. I have had it up actually. I think that the principles that you have in this book would be very revealing to anyone, male or female. That's what I think. Now, I have a caller. Let's see if she wants to ask you something in general. Hold on a minute. If I can get my mouse over there. I have three monitors, so it was over on the other side. Here we go. Hi.
Hello.
There. You're live on the air. Did you want to ask Roxana something or me?
I was listening to the show from when I came in. And I have to say I do agree with being social or not being social and having to answer or, you know, wait on someone or, you know, just having the
differences.
of a view, you know.
You know what? As you get older, you get smarter. You figure it out.
You get smart. I'm sorry. I was going to say.
No, go ahead.
You learn to like your own company better than many others.
There you go. So, Roxana, would you like to talk to Roxana about something or agree with something or disagree with something?
Are you guys doing readings on your show today? Or
she's not doing readings.
So.
No. She's an author.
Right. That's what I thought I read. Okay. I read the whole, you know, scan down the whole, all the information on your page. And actually, what started you off writing? I've been thinking about writing a book for many, many, many years. And the funny part, I write very well. I don't like to read. I hate to read. If I've read 10 books in my life, I know that's probably bad to say, but, you know, I'm a lot smarter than the little I've read. So I hate to read. I like to write. I've been wanting to write a book forever. And I guess I don't know where to start, really.
Okay, Roxana, how can she start? Should she do?
You can start with authority. So authority is really important when writing a book. The number one reason people don't get their books finished or published is that they lack authority. And by that, I don't mean that they don't have the necessary qualifications. Someone might be extremely qualified to write something, but the tone of their writing does not yield that authority that readers are expecting. And that actually is a feminine characteristic, because most of the time, if you don't feel like you know exactly what to write, or you're not certain how to do it, or you can't finish it, most of the time, and this is a very unconscious behavior, it's because you're wondering what other people would think and whether it's good enough. Is this correct?
That makes sense, don't you think?
That does make a lot of sense, yes. I mean, I've been writing, it sounds crazy what I'm about to say, what I'm about to say sounds crazy. I've been writing this book in my head for years, if that makes sense. Like, I know what I want it to be about. I already have the name of the book. I think, is it going to be too short? Is it going to be, you know, I don't know how many pages a book is technically supposed to have, if there's any kind of an outline for that. If, you know, this book has, I don't know, I'm just going to pick a number. This book only has 60 pages. It's too short, you know, or is there a specific amount of pages a book is really supposed to be?
You decide how many pages you need to. That's what I'm. So it's a mindset thing, because you're going back and forth because you're actually wondering whether it's good enough or what other people will say. If you want to write it, just write it however you want it and let it be, you know, as long as it, you know, as long as you want it, it doesn't matter. You're the decision maker here. So it's a bit of a, it's like a mindset block that you're experiencing, nothing else. And I want to say that human life and creativity especially functions between two cardinal directions. One of them is mm-hmm. wish or want, and the other one mm-hmm. is fear or resistance. So when you want something, it's like an invisible string pulling you towards doing that or experiencing something. And that's going to ask you to take a leap of faith at a certain point. We don't have a crystal ball. I know we all want to have a crystal ball and know mm-hmm. if it's going to work and if the book is going to be published, but we don't have that. And again, that's also a feminine thing. You need to trust that. You need to trust that you're doing that because, you know, you're on your own path. Fear on the other side is a construct of your logical mind, and that it's aimed at keeping you safe. And it is mm-hmm. good, but the problem is that if it's overdone, it's going to mm-hmm. eventually prevent you from living life, you know, on full mode and experiencing what you want to experience and being fulfilled. In your case, fulfilled because you've written a book. So that's when human intellect becomes a liability instead of an asset. It is what it is. Because of the social conditioning, human beings are mm-hmm. kind of a little bit, you know, like prisoners in their own brain, and that's what you're experiencing right now. Right now, you're being pulled into a different direction, but this fear, this resistance is holding you back.
Right, and that makes sense completely. Let me ask you this about writing. So you write a book, you finish it. You go to get it published. How do I ask this? I know what I want to ask. I'm just trying to find the words.
What do you do with your work? How do you get it to a publisher? How do you?
Well, I mean, that's part of it, but my main the book I write, I want everything to be in my own words without anyone saying, well, you need to change it here. No, this is coming from me, kind of based on personal experience that I want to share, but I know others experience it as well. So I don't want anyone to change one single word that I choose to write. And how do you say, nope, you're not touching a thing, you know, one word in my book. This is exactly how I want it worded and published.
I understand that. It really mm-hmm. depends on the quality of your writing, and it depends on the person who's reading. Bear in mind that human experience is very relative. So the fact that someone reads your book and wants you to make a lot of changes doesn't mean that someone else will have the same comments. So you're free to, you know, take your book to another publisher. But if I may, I would suggest mm-hmm. a bit of flexibility, because you are working with professionals and, you know, ultimately they also want your book to be a success. So, mm-hmm. I think it's really up to you where you want to draw that boundary between, you know, what you are willing to compromise and what you're not willing to compromise on.
Okay, and that makes sense.
Unless you want to self-publish, you could always self-publish, but Roxana would probably agree that if you do that, getting it out is going to be really tough. I have a lady who submitted her work to a couple of mm-hmm. Publishing houses that I know. Okay, mm-hmm. and they weren't in need of her material at all. So now she said, well, I'll self-publish, but now what I'm doing for her is I'm putting a chapter in every month.
Oh, wow.
But we talked a lot, and she said, well, what do you think? I said, well, I don't want you to give it up. I said, so mm-hmm. I'll put a chapter in every month. And then maybe that will encourage you to get it self-published. Maybe we'll get some comments that somebody will say, I want more of this. I mean, she's super spiritual. And sometimes, mm-hmm. and Roxana, you probably know this, sometimes publishing houses have had enough of all the spirituality. They get bombarded with all of these books, all these manuscripts, all over and over. And it has to be something outstanding for them to want to publish it for you. And now for me, talking about my fairy tale, I would submit it to the houses that I know because it's different. It would be different, but it still would be spiritual, you know? So I don't know, Roxana, how did you go about? You had your manuscript. Did you decide, well, I'm going to go to, it's not Hunt now, it's Collective Inc., I think, right now. But did you go just to them? How did you submit your manuscript? How did you do it?
How did you do it?
Yeah, they were the very first publishing house submitted, and they said yes right away. So that's, you know, very unusual for a first-time writer. I don't want to, you know, set the bar that high because a lot of people have a lot of rejections. And, you know, J.K. Rowling had a lot of rejections, and there are a lot of really famous authors that had, you know, such experiences. And Paulo Coelho, who wrote The Alchemist, it took him like 15 years to get it published. So it really depends on
your
thoughts.
So you can't be discouraged.
You know?
Yeah, because who's ever going to be reading it may not be on the same wavelength that you're on. Like, you know, I mean, I hate to keep picking at mine, but maybe they don't believe in fairy tales. I happen to believe in them. And that's how my book is going to end. Do you believe in fairy tales? I do. So you see, so you could get somebody who's like very, not kind of like, spiritual, not kind of like a fantasy or magical, somebody who's just a stiff, like, it's got to be this way. Nope, I don't like it. Now, I don't know how the houses work. Do they let a couple of people read the manuscript, Roxana, or does it just go to a specific or a bunch of people read it and then there's a consensus? Well, yes, this is good stuff. We need to print this. How do they come to that conclusion?
They usually have a few people reading it, maybe three, something like that, and then they would, you know, share their opinions, and then, that's how it works. If they like it, they like it. If they don't, if they don't, you just have to, you know, keep on trying. I mean, being me has its advantages, which is that I work with intuition. That's what I do. So maybe that's why it worked, you know, because I didn't really have a rational. I didn't have a logical reason for choosing them besides the fact that they had similar books, but maybe, you know, it was just guidance.
I'm surprised my friend who wrote hers, it's a really a great story, but I think they had enough of her type of writing. I think they go in modes myself. I think, you know, because I know from, like, Jay Hunt, I've known them for years, the original owner, J.P. Hunt, I've known him for years. I think from what I'm getting, all of these, you know, I get articles like from Gavin, I'll get stuff, and he'll introduce me to an author, and I'm seeing it kind of goes in phases. Sometimes I'll get people to be on the show that are all spiritual. Sometimes I'll get some people that it's more of a mystical kind of thing. It's not really about, you know, enlightenment or anything like that. It'll be just a beautiful story. Or sometimes I don't really get poets, though. They don't come to me to be on the air. So, but it goes in phases. It really does. And sometimes I wonder, you know, I never asked Gavin about it if it's you know, because I had her submit to them and they didn't feel the need for it. Then she went to somebody else because I know a lot of people. And so she got discouraged and I wrote her. I said, no, don't be discouraged. I said, well, put it in the magazine. I like it. I'm the boss, I said. I am the boss and I'm putting it in. That's it. You know, she calls me her angel. She said, but I've been called that before, but because of my givingness, but that's besides the point. I just told her, I said, we're going to get your work out there. We will have people view it. So what's the big deal? You know, it's already done. You've already got, I believe she has some graphics or something with it. And I said, we'll run with it. And she said, I can't believe you're going to do this. I said, well, why not? Tell me why I can't do it. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I mean, it's always, my magazine is always about, you know, spiritual stuff, wholesome, good stuff. I have a man who writes about Nostradamus every month. Now, that's far out. And he's a spiritualist in the UK, and he just adores me. You know, he writes me back and forth. And then I have somebody who just left Israel, who wrote a book. He's now in Dubai, and he's my friend. I mean, you know, I worry about him. I said, well, get yourself out of there. Go far away. Don't go back until you really have to, because it's, you know, all that mess that's going on over there, it's very, very tricky because they keep getting more territory. And he said, well, I'll go over to Cyprus after I'm done here. I will not go back. He's in Jerusalem. So you see, his book was on, Principles of Spirituality. Now, there's so many books out there, but he writes different, you know. You know, it's kind of like you look at it this way. If it's supposed to be out there, it's going to be out there somehow. It'll be out there. And go with that.
Right.
Okay, so I got, and Roxana probably will agree to this. She was fortunate, but if she had been turned down, I really don't think it would have stopped her from submitting it to somebody else. And you've always got mine. Mr. Glibbing Today, send it to me. I'll put it in. I'll put it in, and then I can write some of the publicists that I know and say, see what you missed. This is what you missed. Because they'll ask me my opinion all the time. And I just, because I've got so much experience, 25 years with the magazine is a long time, and I've seen so many. And I'll tell you something, the work that's coming through is just beautiful. It's grandeur. It's you know, it's so excellent. It's of the highest realm. And that's, it goes in phases like that. I don't get any work that's not good. I haven't seen anything. I haven't rejected anybody yet in 25 years.
Wow.
So I encourage you to write. I should encourage myself, but I've got so many irons in the fire right now that it's hard. And I think, Roxana, you have to devote time to do this, right? Did you write every day, Roxana, or did you... Oh, yeah, you
I
said
did.
You did. Six to eight hours, you just continually wrote, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
It depends. People are different, you know. See what works for you.
But
yeah, just do
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right. I will do that. Like I said, I've been over and over in my head for many, many years. And, you know, then I think, do I have enough to write about? Well, what if I stop? You know, and I mean, I have different, I guess, subsections for the book or chapters or whatever you want to call them, you know, but then I'm like, well, what if they're all too short, or what if?
And don't fear rejection. It doesn't mean it that one particular person, like whatever you're writing about, wasn't on that level. They just didn't get it. They just... Oh, you know, but they want the books that they're going to publish to be a success. That's why they come on my show. That's why Gavin sends them to me. That's why, and to all the other places, all the other podcasts. But I get articles from all of these authors, and I put it in the magazine. And most likely, they've been on my show 1, 2, and 3 times over the past 12 years. Because that's their job, right, Roxana? That's their job, is to promote that author with that book that they have published.
Yep.
And even if people that you know don't like it, or they make a face, who cares? That's just one opinion in millions of people all over the world. It's just one.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. Actually, I don't think anybody would make a face at this. I think it would be very well received. But I always said, like I said before, I don't like to read. I like to write. And the reason I don't like to read, it's not that I can't read and I'm educated. I just get very bored. But I always said, I'm going to write a number one bestseller someday that I've never read. A little bit of funny there. But so I think it will be really, I think it would be received very well by so many people. Like I said, it's just more a matter of, will it be long enough? I guess that's
I don't think
my
you should worry
only...
about that, because Roxana told you it's up to
yes.
you. You're the author. Now, I want to go back, and I want to mention Roxana's site, because she has courses in here that you can, a lot of things you can learn from. It's called theinsidemonarch.com. You know, of course, a monarch is a butterfly. Why did you name it that, Roxana?
Well, you know, the monarch butterfly is the symbol of transformation, and it's also
right.
a symbol of eternal life, because we are, you know, ultimately spiritual beings. We're endless. We don't have a start and an end, but we just keep on transforming, and ultimately that's really the goal. This is the blueprint of the universe we live in, and we're subject to the same laws, so evolution by growth and transformation is what we're going to do effortlessly, provided we're able to diminish that resistance a little bit and then move into that flow. So what I do at the Inside Monarch is that I just teach people to manage their emotions and basically just take one step behind and look at their life from, you know, from outside of the box, and basically just give them a higher perspective, because that makes life a little bit more joyful and a bit more mm-hmm. fulfilling, and that's what we really want.
Wow. And the monarch is that's what's on her homepage. I call it the main when you're doing it. It's just called the main. But she's got these modules that you can, you can learn more and buy. I mean, all three of them she's got sitting here. But if you go to the site, you'll see this beautiful butterfly, and it makes you feel really good. That's important to me. I like... my one site now, my Mystic Living Today is going to be a flip magazine, so yes, it will be. It is transforming. It's mm-hmm. going to have a new banner, but my other site, my Star Psychic site, is going to change to bringing love and light to the world. It's got a lot of deep blues and stuff in it. It will have some blues and some white and prettier, softer. Maybe because I don't, and it's not because I have to change it, but I have two gals who do the graphics for me. They do, like the one does all my social media. I mean, like she'll run with your stuff, Roxana. And like I told you, she's the one that did that ad for you. You know, we had to correct the ad. I sent her a message this morning. Yeah. She said, I've changed it. It's good to go. She sent it to me. I approved it. Okay, off it goes. She does that. But you see, you have to. And you have to surround yourself with people who care about you and want you to be successful. So any aspiring author, and I'm sure Roxana can agree, you have to have people around you that are going to be inspirational. You don't want people knocking you down and say, well, that's stupid to write about that. What do you want to write about that for? Why? You know, just cross them off your list. They're not
right.
going to help. I what I call them are champions. Champions are those people who love you and love what you're doing, what you're trying to do. That's why I have these people. I mean, yeah, I pay them, but that's why I have them to do beautiful work, because they see it's a beautiful thing. And,
right, that's good.
And I think it's important. I really, really do. But let's see. She has a place here. You can ask her a question. Now, if they ask you a question, what kind of a question? You have that on your site. What can they ask, Roxana?
Anything, you know, anything. They might want to ask about the online courses. They might, you know, have a spiritual related question, you know, anything. I don't have that much time, but whenever I get the chance, I do like to answer, you know, as many messages as I can.
You've got your book, so you're trying to promote that, I'm sure, a lot, right?
Oh, yeah, that takes a lot of time. But, you know... getting there.
That's fantastic.
So you can ask her a question. That's on her site, theinsidemonarch.com. Mm-hmm. And it's under, it says, ask me a question. She's got that. She's got her courses. She's got her book. Oh, I have another question for you, Roxana. Are you going to write another one?
I was going to ask that, too.
I already am finishing my next manuscript. Yeah, it's almost finished. I don't want to disclose what it is yet.
Right. Good God,
is it along the
great.
Same lines of this book, this first book? Is it kind of like the same kind of thing, or what? Without giving out too much information,
okay, I'm gonna give you a little hint. It's actually
okay.
more about holistic health and natural living.
Ah.
Ooh.
That's good. And, you know, more and more people are going that way. You know, I don't eat meat at all. I'm kind of a vegan.
I don't either.
I do like roasted chicken, and I like turkey on Thanksgiving and Christmas. But other than that, I love salmon. You know, I have all kinds of fish and greens and rices, not white rice, but brown rices. And so, and that's another way you can feel a lot better about yourself when you eat like that. And that's, my cardiologist told me that too. He said, you know, he said, what don't you eat? And I said, well, I'm not saying I don't. I mean, I never eat hamburgers, ever. I don't eat meat, beef at all, ever. I haven't in probably 35 years. And he said to me, you see, you are what you have been eating. You, it shows. He said, look at you. He said, you'll probably live to be 100. And I said, oh, well, I don't know about that. Because, you know, you want to be able to function. And, I mean, if I could be doing this another 10 years, I would be thrilled. Because there's so much coming to the fore, as they say. There's so much coming out now. And I mean, you know, my job is easy. This is easy. Doing all this is easy. I mean, I don't even dread it. One time I had a famous author on my show. His books have been into movies. He made into movies, and I thought, oh, take a deep breath here, Natalie. How are you going to talk to this guy? Well, we went an hour and a half.
Wow.
Nonstop.
Wow.
And he laughed at the end, and he said, you know, he said, you're really good. And I said, why? He said, because you – he says, something gets you to ask. Something, you just keep drawing more and more and more from me. Well, I was kind of nervous before I started talking to him because I thought, oh, my God, this is going to be, I don't even know if I can talk to this man. But I did. It was easy. So, you see?
Wow,
easy.
That's great.
Just keep doing one step in front of the other. And so, Roxana, this new manuscript, when is it going to be done? When are you going to submit it to, are you going to go back to the same publishing house, I'm sure, right?
Maybe. I can't answer this question because I haven't really given it a good thought.
Well, I just put a question in your head.
Yeah. Like you said,
okay,
I'm promoting,
where am I going to put this?
I'm promoting the 10 principles of the feminine now, so that takes a lot of my time. And once that's out of the way, then I can look forward to my next publishing contract.
There you go.
Wow.
So, what a wonderful conversation we had today. I'm so
thrilled.
And thank you for calling.
What is your name?
What was your name, by the way? I didn't even.
Val.
Val. Great conversation with you, Val. And this is what it's about, too. You can ask questions about writing, and Roxana would be the one to ask because she's got this book out. She's already finished. And your encouragement to her, Roxana, has been wonderful because and that's what you need. You need to be inspired. You need to be inspired.
Yeah.
So,
oh, definitely. So thank you, ladies, so much.
We're going to end the show, but look for my email because I am already gathering information for my January issue because it's going to be the 25th anniversary and we're switching it over to a flip magazine and that means you'll be able to touch the page at the corner and it flips over for you. I've already got a big, huge section about the animal kingdom because I have a wildlife photographer that already sent me all of his pictures and he doesn't send me images, he sends me the pictures and he was in my magazine a few years ago and I showcased him and he's going to be in, there's going to be different sections. I'm going to be having, I could even have a recipe section. I'm going to have a Savannah section because that's not far from me and it's a very creative city. Different kind of sections and we're going to keep adding. So it's going to be neat. And Roxana, I want you to be in it. So I will contact you because I'm going to, hopefully it's going to be big because I'm going to send reminders out to everybody and their brother and their mother, as they say. And after all, it doesn't cost them a dime. Just send it to me. That's all that I want. That's what I want. I want that to be a success. So, Val, go over to Mystic Living today and read some good stuff over there.
All right. Well, you ladies, thank you so much. And both of you have a wonderful holiday season.
And you as well. Okay, Roxana.
Thank you.
We did a great job, you and I. How wonderful, huh? What a
we
team.
Did.
We are. We're a great team.
It was a pleasure.
Oh, well, you never know. We might do it again when the next one comes out, right? Because I have you on my list.
I would be happy to do that. Yeah.
Yes,
it
would be
that.
Wonderful. Okay, I love you dearly already. You're my Roxana already. See, when you come on my show, you're mine. You're mine. That's it. My.
Sounds good.
Anyways, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the show. Next week I have another guest. Let's see. Yes, on the 13th. I don't have anything on the 20th, but then we'll be back on the 27th, and I'm already booking for February. So, and I love it. I love to tell people, no, I can't do you in January. We can't do this till February. It makes me feel good because it makes me think that I'm bringing more people out to giving them another way of an avenue for them to get their beautiful work out. So have a great day, Roxana. And to everybody that's listening, come back next week. It'll be at 1 o'clock, 1 to 2. And I always end the show the same way, and that is believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Have an awesome day, everybody. Bye-bye.